Greetings. This is James Gilman with As You Wish Talk Radio. It's been a crazy day. We've got a lot of things happening up here at the ranch. We have a Kunlun Igong seminar going on, which is just awesome. People are just getting blissed out and opening and learning all kinds of very ancient tools and techniques to maintain that bliss. So kudos to that. And there's a few things I wanted to cover. Some things I don't really like to cover, but they need to be covered. I got just a ton of email from people about on Coast to Coast, and I guess Art Bell came on and interviewed a guy by the name of Butch, I guess, with MUFON, and you know, he painted the most darkest picture you could imagine. You know, human mutilations, animal mutilations. You know, it's all dark, it's all ugly. You know, grab your guns, grab the, you know. Hide, and you should be very, very scared. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, I'm the first one to say that, you know, possibly not all contacts are good. You know, there could be some negative ETs out there, just like there are negative humans here on Earth and everywhere else. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, I don't want to discount all the other information, but it's just a drop in the bucket, you know. So the negative stuff is very minute compared to the benevolent stuff, and the benevolent information just isn't getting out there. The majority of the universe is benevolent. There were some low-level contacts going on, and there's a lot of people mistakenly connecting with those beings and not using discernment you know, bringing forward information. And I've kind of warned people repeatedly that, you know, the grays are a very gray area. And when you're playing with the grays and reptiles, not all of them are bad, but it's a good chance that you're going to be sent off in a wrong direction or given false information and lose all credibility in the end. And that seems to be what's happening with some other folks. A little segue there, a.k.a. Dr. Boylan, who seems to be putting a lot of stuff up on his website about myself, and saying that we are, you know, he's at conferences, he's saying that we are somehow tied into the cabal, I don't know, cabal operatives or something like that, and that we're here to send out disinformation with our supposed contacts, you know, supposed, you know, I think is pretty interesting. But, you know, if you talk to anybody that's come to East City, they've had an outrageous time. They've had incredible experiences. They have spontaneous healings here. The ships come in on a regular basis. They make themselves known. They land sometimes on the mountain and morph into three or four, power up, make right-angle turns, and put on quite a display. And there's an amazing interaction here with these higher-dimensional beings. So having a 25-year track record here doing that and also having extreme training in unseen negative influences, how to clear and heal these and how to align yourself with the higher benevolent beings, I would have to say that maybe Mr. Boylan should take a ride up here and receive a little training in this arena because he's gone off the deep end a little bit here. I know he does his energy signature program where I don't know if he uses a pendulum or exactly how he does this, but I've seen him tell some just beautiful people that are very awake, very loving, very service-oriented, and extremely evolved and tapped in. And he's told them that they have a negative energy signature and also made influences that, you know, or references that they are working for the cabal. So anyway, I sent Mr. Boylan a letter, and I said if he could come up with any pay stubs or checks or any connections, I would be very glad to see them. If I got a nickel back on every dollar I've spent, you know, getting this message out, I'd be a very rich man. And you know, there is no cabal program, and basically, if he were to read my books, they cover extensively who the cabal and New World Order people are, what their agenda is, and this was back in 1982, and it's all unfolding right now. So we've brought on some very powerful speakers. We've been a champion of truth, a champion for spirit, a champion for individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. So, you know, with a 25-year track record and having written this you know, in ink, in the books, talking about these different groups and who they are and what they're up to, I would say Mr. Boylan has a lot of homework to catch up on, because obviously he hasn't done any, and obviously he's being influenced by certain entities that maybe he should come to us and get them off his back, you know, because his information is just so far out to lunch. It's beyond out to lunch, you know. So enough said about that. I don't really like to go into that kind of nonsense, but we are up on his website as being the bad and the ugly, and somehow we have are sponsored by the cabal, and you know, they just never approach me. You know, I guess maybe they knew I wouldn't take the check or something, but, you know, at least like to get the approach, you know, and have the big fat check or the unlimited credit card or something like that, so I would know that I was on the target and ruffling more feathers than I am now. But it just hasn't happened. But there is one thing that does kind of irk me a little bit, and that, you know, we've had extreme challenges here. We're still having those challenges with the county and other folks, and we've had black helicopters buzz us on a regular basis. We've had psychotronics used on us. We have the equipment to measure these psychotronics, and you know, it's been very well documented by physicists that there is some crazy stuff being directed towards us from satellites and from a ridge across the way. I've had my brake lines cut. I've had my lug nuts taken off several times. I wrecked my truck once because of this. I've actually had a bullet whiz by me and actually caught it on film. I was filming outside, and then a bullet went right by my head, and you hear this shoo, go right by, and the camera actually picked it up. It was that close, and I moved just at the last minute, and I heard it hit the house behind us. So, you know, I think Mr. Boylan ought to do a little research, and if I was on their side, I don't think people would be taking pot shots and cutting brake lines and undoing lug nuts. So, anyway, enough said on that one. It just does kind of irk you a little bit when you've put your life on the line and you've worked very hard for 25-plus years to turn this planet around, and then you have people making statements such as this, which are only pretty much defining his character and connection, you might say. So, you know, if anybody is out there becoming a disruptive force or a negative force out there, I think he doesn't have to take too many steps away from his mirror to figure out that one. So enough said on that subject. There's quite a lot of things going on. I know a lot of people are hearing about some crash in Fresno. I've gotten emails from people that live in Fresno that are right on top of this. And I've driven through Fresno, and I've seen these huge triangular ships just go right over the highway, you know, on I-5. And there is a lot of back engineering going on in that area, and they do fly a lot of their toys around that area. And there does seem to be a lot of UFOs in that area, probably observing the back-engineered UFOs. So, you know, that's another one. So I haven't been able to get any validation. There were eyewitnesses that saw this object go down. There was a lot of welding in the area. It looks like they cut it up after it crashed and took it off. You know, a lot of arc welding lights and things like that seen in the area after it crashed. So, you know, we really don't have any, no local news or anything else picked up this information. So there's no corroboration on that one right now. I'm not saying it didn't happen, because we've seen things here. Like just recently in Portland, Oregon, we had these amazing sightings flying over Portland, Oregon, and these people are filming them. Getting awesome footage right over the buildings, you know, flying around the buildings, you know, beautiful light ships. No strobes, no running lights on them, just one brilliant light flying around the city, you know, and several of them at one time. So that's ongoing, which is leading me to believe, you know, we're very close to disclosure, you know, from the skies, basically. They're getting ready to do something on a big scale. I really don't think, although I don't want to put it past, you know, this Project Blue Beam and all these other programs they've got where they're going to fake a UFO attack. A lot of our scientists have warned us about that. So the Peace and Space, you know, groups, all of these people are aware of this this is on the books to, you know, create a fake invasion and to unify the people again. But I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that one off. And I'm really hoping the benevolent ones will step in and say, we aren't going to go there. But good luck on that one. I think too many people know what's really going on, and they know, you know, about the cover-up and all the other nonsense that's been going on. So anyway, we're seeing UFOs around the world. Everybody seemed to be filming these UFOs. They hit the press. They're taken off the press. The debunkers and cleanup crew come in. And I've seen a lot of people in the UFO community actually come in and try to sanitize these things and try to say these events didn't happen, even though they had footage and multiple witnesses. So I'd be aware of that. The UFO community is not what you think it is, and especially there are some MUFON chapters out here that are very friendly with us, but overall I would say MUFON needs to do some major house cleaning. If it's not nuts and bolts, it doesn't exist. And if it's too good or too close, it's going to be shoved under the rug, and you're not going to hear about it. So they want to keep it down to the 1% of the universe, which is the nuts and bolts 3D category, and that's fine, you know, if they want to stay in that reality. But, I mean, who wants to settle for 1%? So anyway, enough said on that category. I can go on and on. The bottom line is that we need to do our own investigation. We need to come out to the hot spots like the East Eddy Ranch. There's other places where these UFOs are being, you know, seen and making their presence known. There's a lot of activity in Peru and Mexico and other countries that don't shoot at them. And that same thing comes up over and over again. Well, why aren't they landing, you know, and before Congress or the White House lawn and everything else? And I said, well, they're looking for people with pure intent, open minds and loving hearts and people of high integrity. And that is probably the last place they would want to go. And they're not going to go through any major official institution because most of those have been compromised as well. So they are going to come through John Q. Public. They're going to make themselves seen in the skies. And pretty soon it's going to be overwhelming. And there's one very important thing I like to say is that rather than demanding that they prove themselves to you that they are here, it just doesn't work that way. You have to rise to the occasion, and you have to invite them into your experience. And that's the only way it's going to work. It doesn't come on your terms. It comes on their terms, and they're going to scan you. And when they know you're ready, you're going to have the experience. And these beings are extremely advanced, extremely telepathic. They know what you're going to do before you do it. They know your thoughts. They know your intentions. They know your whole consciousness and what you're all about. So if you have ill intent and if you're very negative and very skeptical, you're not going to have the experience. And I can go deeper into that if people want to say that's a cop-out. I can get into physics because you see with your brain. You don't see with your eyes. Your eyes pick up billions of bits of information. Your brain chooses what it wants to see or what it can use as far as its reality. And that's the way it works. Any neuroscientist will tell you that. So when you say, I'll believe it when I see it, that's really improper. You have to be open to it to have the experience. You have to know that those are there, that is a possibility, and be open to it. And the old saying, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect, is very, very accurate because, you know, if you have a fearful, aggressive mindset or a military mindset, often you're going to see it as that. You're not going to see anything else. If you have a spiritual mindset and you're very awake and enlightened, you're going to see the other planes and dimensions and the ships on them. You're going to see the energy ships, the light ships, the Merkabas, and all the other things going on. You know, but if you don't have that consciousness, you're not going to have that experience. That just is the bottom line. And we need to rise to the occasion and choose to live according to universal principles such as brother-sisterly love, universal peace, freedom and equality for all. We need to get back to the basics. And when we do that as a civilization, then we're ripe for contact. And they will land and they will walk among us and they'll bring their technologies. And they have transited war and disease and they don't need fuel. And they could actually shift this planet back to Eden. They need a door. They need an opening to make this happen. And right now, the the door is closed and we are meeting them with very aggressive means, you know, because we do have the war industry and the oil industry and the pharmaceutical industry in charge right now. And we're starting to see where that's taking us. So, you know, anyway, just pay attention. Start watching the skies, clean up your consciousness, and expect a miracle, and things will happen. I'm going to go out to the field here and see if we can connect with some of our guests. We've had some amazing sightings here, and they're up on the site. And if you want to check them out, you can go to the BBS website or the... Actually, most of them are up on the BBS site. They're not even up on my own site yet because there's a little bit of a lag time. But we definitely have some amazing footage. You know, just go to my page here on BBS, on As You Wish Talk Radio, and you can click on the links and see it. We have some groups very interested in these spiraling field crafts that come out of the mountain and come right at the camera, and they're big off in the distance, and they get smaller and smaller as they come closer, which is a paradox, basically, but it is what happens. And then they just phase out and disappear, and we have this on film, and we have some major network people looking at it and want to use it, but the way they want to use it isn't proper, so we're holding back on that, you know, until, you know, they stop with all these other programs and just bring out the truth, then we'll work with them. But we just don't want to, you know, kind of make this mundane. This is an amazing thing. The technologies they're showing us are just phenomenal, and we should respect that and treat it accordingly rather than make, you know, a spoof out of it or anything else. So we're being very clear with this, and we realize there are people out there that no matter how much evidence you show them and no matter how much how many witnesses you bring forward, and just as the SETI conference, we had 200 eyewitnesses of a ship flying right over the conference building. You know, that still isn't enough because some people are of ill intent and their whole program is directed towards a negative agenda. But, you know, we bless those people, you know, send them on their walk. And the only thing sad about that is they'll never have the experience of the higher dimensions and the love and the joy and the bliss that come with it. So with that said, I hope we've hooked up with our field line. Is anybody out there?
Hi, James. It's Yvonne Smith.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm great. Having a wonderful time here at the ranch.
Great. Kay, can you talk a little bit about your experiences, maybe in the class first, because you just came out of the Yigong and the Kunlun class.
Yes, the class is wonderful. I recommend it to everyone. As I mentioned to everyone in the class as we went around introducing ourselves, the last 2 years I've been wanting to learn and get into meditation and Qigong and so forth to open myself up and open up my psychic abilities. And I had the opportunity, my friend Amy mentioned the class here at the ranch, and of course my friend and colleague Paula Harris has told me for a long time I've got to come to ESETI. So this was a great opportunity for me because as you know, my work involves hypnotherapy with experiencers. I've been doing my work for about 20 years, published my first book in 2008, working on my second and third, all about my cases. And I feel that this class, this workshop that I'm taking this weekend, is going to help me reach deep down my, you know, within myself to become a better therapist, better person, better guide for these people who are coming to me for help with their experiences. So it's quite a place, James, and I thank you so much for you know, for having this available to everyone. And as you were talking about people having sightings and experiences here, I'm excited about going out tonight for the Sky Watch, and I'm hoping that I, too, will have an experience with one of the craft coming over.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you will. If we have clear skies, it's pretty much a nightly thing. And I know Paula Harris had a great time when she was here, and she sent a Swiss crew. I think it was Swiss-Italian crew. They have they're working together on a project, and their first day here, as soon as they drove up, a black helicopter flew over.
Oh my God, right before they got here,
and they seem to know. They seem to know exactly when something big is going to happen, and they do their runs, which are quite interesting.
I'm sure they know everything that we're doing. I mean, I would have loved to have been here for your July conference. However, I was lecturing over at Roswell, New Mexico, for their conference that they have 4th of July week. So I'm sorry I had to miss yours, but I'm hoping if you do have another one next year, I'll be able to be here and experience a conference here on the ranch. Because I heard I spoke with Paola and some other people that I know and heard it was a wonderful conference, a lot of good speakers and a lot of energy. So I congratulate you on this, James. I think you're doing a great job and a great service for all of us.
Well, thank you. I can't do anything else. You got to do your sole purpose or get off the planet, basically.
Right, exactly. And people that have had experiences and encounters, they're going to appreciate the coming here. I have two of my CIRO members. CIRO is my support group, Close Encounter Resource Organization, that I formed 18 years ago for people to come together and talk about their experiences. And I have two of them here at the ranch this weekend. So we're going to go back and talk about our experiences here. And, I'm sure we'll have more people that will want to come and spend time.
Yeah. Do you have a website that people can get in contact with you if they want to find out more?
I sure do. They can go to www.ysmith, that's my first initial, last name, ysmith.com. And I'm also on Facebook, so they could send me a message, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. I thank you so much for this opportunity. And, again, I'm having a wonderful time here at the ranch. I recommend the Kundalini classes to everyone who really wants to get in touch with themselves and to open up all the possibilities. And, I mean, we have so many possibilities within ourselves that we haven't even touched, and I'm grateful for the experience. So thank you, James, and thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks so much for coming on the show. Do we have anybody else there ready to come on?
We sure do. I'll hand you over to your next guest.
All right, great.
Hello, James.
Hello. Who are we speaking with?
Steve. Hello.
Oh, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better. I'm glad to be here.
Hard to get better than great, but I guess it's possible.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. So you've seen quite a few things here, at the ranch. And before, we go further, I wanted to talk about... I guess we can't mention the name, but, you work for a major aerospace firm, and you're used to looking at craft and know what they can do and what they can't do, and, know some of these craft, conventional planes inside and out. Being that said, could you talk about some of the things you've seen here and how they differ from anything conventional?
Sure, I'd be glad to. First, a little bit about how my interest started in UFOs was back in probably 1980 when I read Dr. J. Allen Hynek's book. It was an expose. And for those who don't know, Dr. J. Allen Hynek was the chief advisor for Project Blue Book. That was the Air Force team. It was a real small team. It was kind of a facade that pretended that they were investigating UFOs and giving mundane explanations to everything. And Dr. J. Allen Hynek was hired by them, and he was a skeptic in the very beginning. And then later on, he noticed how the Air Force was rubber stamping everything as being explained as planet Venus, or it was a weather inversion or something else, that they mistook it as swamp gas or whatever. And he started realizing that this is not right. And in his book that I read, the title escapes me now, but he gives all these stories. They're actually witnesses, credible witnesses in these events. And And then the U.S. Air Force gives the explanation. It was really a silly explanation. That was really ridiculous. And then after that, you see Dr. J. Allen Hynek's sarcastic remarks. You could sense the anger in his tone there, that this is ridiculous, that this couldn't have been a planet or a star or whatever. Stars don't go 15,000 miles an hour, or planets. At least relative to the Earth here, you know, they look stationary to us, but really they are moving fairly quick. But anyway, just going through that book, you could see how he's getting really angry and fed up with what's going on. So let's move up to, like, the year 2005. I used to belong to a group club, actually, called the Parapsychology Club, where we'd have guest speakers come in. Some specialized in natural healing. Some were involved with investigating paranormal events. Others investigated UFOs. And there was one gentleman named Jim Lemming who came in, and he came right out and said the hot spot for UFOs is the Trout Lake area, especially the SETI Ranch. And he mentioned your name. And I had never heard of you until then. So I took notes. I jotted down your website, jotted down Trout Lake, and I got a map of it. And I called the guy back up, and I said, hey, when's a good time to go there to see this stuff? He said, just go there. Look towards the mountain, and bingo, you'll see stuff. Just go there anytime. So what I did, instead of calling you to ask permission, can I camp on your property? I guess, a little bit too shy. I went out and camped out at some site probably about 10 miles from here. My wife came along reluctantly because I told her what we're probably going to see, and she gave me what I call the hairy eyeball look, you know, the askance look, like, oh, yeah, okay. So so anyway, I convinced her to come camping with me, and on the way down there from the Seattle area, it was about 200, it's exactly 252 miles, at least three times she said, now, what are we supposed to see? And I would explain to her, look, I was told we're going to see something fantastic. It's supposed to be out of this world. I want to go see it. And I mentioned Dr. J. Allen Hynek and his findings and how he thought people were having aberrations. And then he realized they weren't. This is real stuff that's going on. And then, you know, she'd ask the same question an hour later, and I'd tell her, you know, just let's just have fun, okay? So anyway, we find a campsite about probably about 10 miles from the mountain. And then we go to a clearing at about 9:30. This is August 2005. We found, like, a clear-cut area. It was probably a new moon, or if not, there was a sliver of the moon showing, so the mountain wasn't easy to see. It was very dark. So we're staring at the mountain for about maybe 10, 20 minutes, and it's starting to get chilly out. So I turn to go to the Jeep, from our viewing, where we're looking, from the viewing point, but my wife stayed affixed towards the mountain. And as soon as I turned 90 degrees to go get our jackets, there was a flash that went off, a bright flash, like a camera, flash camera went off in my peripheral vision, and my wife screamed. She shrieked, oh, my God! And I said, what is that? And then we see this bright ball of light. I didn't know what it was, bright ball of light just moving around, dancing around, like, out of control, just doing weird stuff. It wasn't a star. And she described what she... I couldn't see it directly because I was turned away from it, but she said it looked like it had shot down these giant sparks to the ground, like molten metal. She says, yeah, like silver or white light shot out of it, like giant sparks, just like it discharged high voltage. I wish I would have seen it. I wish I wouldn't have turned to get the jackets because I didn't see it directly, but my wife did. She was going crazy. And then I had this million lumen flashlight with me, one of those big spotlight things. And I had it there in my hand, and she says, shine that thing at it. And I says, no. And then she put the pressure on, oh, you baby, shine it at it. Go ahead. So I flashed it about three times, and I got scared because I don't know what this thing is. Now, I've heard stories about grays abducting people and bad stuff happening. So I'm shaking in the knees. I'm really scared. So I threw the darn thing down, and I said, damn it. I said, they're going to find me naked down the road in a ditch with wires and probes coming out of my south end, you know, because they hear about all these people getting probed and everything. And I was scared. I was really upset. And then I kind of got centered again, and I'm watching this thing do this weird maneuver, you know, up, left, right, up, down. It wasn't really going anywhere. And then it suddenly darted towards the mountain and then just disappeared. I don't know where it went after that. This went on for about maybe 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we're just so excited. We're trying to figure out, what do you think that was? And she's describing to me over and over again what it looked like. And all I could say, it sounded like molten metal discharging from a big silver glowing ball. And we go back to the tent, and we couldn't sleep at all. We kept talking about it, and I felt like I was floating off the ground. It was just a weird event. So now day two, it gets better. Day two, we decide to go out around 9:30, whatever it was, and we go right in the Trout Lake there. There's a schoolyard right down from the Yosemite Ranch, about 2 miles down off the main drag. We pull in the parking lot, and we could see the mountain. It was a beautiful day. It was clear. The Milky Way was showing really good. The moon wasn't out. And we're staring at this mountain, looking all around, looking east, south. And suddenly, from within 10 minutes of getting out of the vehicle, my wife points out to the south towards Oregon, and she goes, look it. She goes, what's that? And it was about 30 degrees off the horizon. It was a white ball of light. And, you know, I see that. It's going linear. And to me, I said, it could be an airplane, but I don't see the red and green running lights. But maybe it's just not showing for some reason. And she goes, well, here it comes. It was coming, going towards the mountain in the eastern sky. And I said, you know, we have to assume we can explain it, that it's probably a commercial airplane or something that just looks really bright for some reason. And I said, it's not doing anything unusual, so we have to assume it's, you know, commercial. And right when I said it's not doing anything unusual, immediately it started undulating up and down like in the sine wave pattern. It went up way high. I don't know how high it went, but it came down. It undulated like this in a serpentine fashion all the way to the mountain. I started laughing hysterically because I said, that is not an airplane. It's not any of our stuff. And it went all the way to the mountain like that. It landed just below the midpoint on the mountain on the right side. And my wife's going hysterical. She's just screaming and yelling. And I'm said, this is insane. What the hell is that? The mountain at that point is about 13 miles away or less. This object was bright white, really bright, and it was huge. And the reason why I know it was huge is because the size of it was about the size of a shirt button at arm's length. It would cover that thing or barely cover it, okay? Now, 747 flies 8 miles high, 7-8 miles high, okay? And that is like the size of a pinhead. It was nowhere near the size of that thing that was on the mountain 13 miles away. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this, and I'm on the electricity in my body is flowing right now because I'm reliving the experience. I just felt this energy flow through me because I was just so excited. And seeing my wife get excited and screaming and yelling, and we're staring at this thing that landed on the mountain. It's getting brighter and brighter. And the next thing I know, after a few minutes, two little objects come out, two little balls of light, but they were red and green, come out of each side of this thing and started circling around. It circled what I call the mothership because this thing looked like it had babies. Circled this thing around several times, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I almost felt queasy because I was taking in information I couldn't handle. I guess it's called cognitive dissonance. I had it big time, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I told my wife, I said, what are you seeing right now? And she described exactly what I was seeing to the detail. I said, thank you. I'm not hallucinating, and neither are you, because there's no such thing as mass hallucinations. And we watched this dazzle duty thing go on with these little baby spheres going around this ball of light, whatever it was. And then after about a minute or two, they darted right back inside. And this thing stayed there for another minute and accelerated so quick, up vertical climb, right to the top of the mountain, above the mountain, hovered above the mountain, I'd say within 3 seconds. And I don't know exactly what that vertical climb was, but it had to be at least 3,000 to 5,000 feet or more in less than 3 seconds, and the acceleration had to be astronomical. Yeah, I think if there was a human in there, they would have been crushed from the G-forces. Mm-hmm. And I did some calculations that came up at, you know, speculating if it's 5,000 feet, the speed could have been, you know, somewhere over 900 miles an hour, much higher than that. And that's average speed because there was an acceleration and deacceleration. So somewhere in there it was even higher than 900 miles per hour. So anyway, this object gets to the top of the mountain. It's just hovering there. Started to get brighter gradually and flashed. It flashed a few times and then darted out in the direction it came from at a higher rate of speed and just disappeared. And my wife and I were just looking at each other. We couldn't believe what we're seeing. This is incredible stuff. And we went back to the campsite, and again, I couldn't sleep because I had too much of this on my mind. I couldn't let go of it. I couldn't relax because I wanted to know what this was. And I tell you what it did for us. It actually brought our marriage closer together. Not that we're falling apart, but having an experience like this with a loved one actually does something to the relationship. This is something we share every week. We bring up this story at least once a week because it is the most amazing thing we ever witnessed together. And it's like a story we can't share with others because most people are not open-minded enough to accept what we saw. I tried to tell people, but I get that, like I said, the hairy eyeball with the askance look.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why even bother? You know, these people, they think I'm making it up. So it's our story.
With aerospace engineers and physicists and people like that that you work with on a daily basis, and you bring, you know, this information up to them, I can see how if they haven't had that experience themselves or whatever, they would, you know, come to that conclusion. But, you know, the bottom line is that there have been triple PhD engineers here, you know, aerospace engineers here that have seen it and have testified that these are definitely not ours, and they're definitely not our back-engineered stuff either.
Right. Yeah, this goes beyond that, and I think what these people need to do that are skeptical is start realizing there's more than three dimensions around here. And even Dr. J. Allen Hynek, alluded to the other dimensions because he made a comment. When he brought his two teams out here to investigate Mount Adams in the 70s, I believe it was, the top-ish area, the east side of the mountain, they saw these balls come in. They saw them hovering above the trees and doing weird acrobats. And J. Allen Hynek made a comment, I had read this somewhere, that he said, you know, he thinks they're here, but he's not really sure if they're nuts and bolts ships, which implies interdimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we were talking earlier about Michio Kaku, and he talks about, you know, that they do accept the fact that there's at least 11 more dimensions out there. And I always say if you take the Milky Way galaxy alone, you know, and this third dimension and all of the stars we see, and now with this new Kepler telescope, they're finding all of these Earth-like planets out there that they couldn't see before, because basically the only thing you can see is a star unless it's a huge planet reflecting light, you know, very close to you. So now with all of these stars out there, 200 billion at a minimum, with planets revolving, right, and this little galaxy, and then there's over 500 billion galaxies out there, and now you take the other dimensions and the life on those, it's just beyond imagination that anybody in their right mind would think that we're it, that we're the only creation out there in the universe. But, you know, it never ceases to amaze me there are those people that are not in their right mind and that can't do the logic or the reason or the math, and they continue to come up with this nonsense that we're it, you know, and you know, basically we're quarantined, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We might be it as far as the most aggressive, fearful, ignorant race on the planet. You know, I can understand that, but there are beings out there far beyond us.
Oh, yes. And I think the "we're it" thing comes from the huge ego that we have, and we especially had way back when it was accepted by many that the Earth is the center of the universe. Remember back in the old days?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that we're not.
Oh yeah, and then it goes on and on. You know, the Vatican now is actually saying that that they do exist. ETs are here, and they're not to be demonized, you know. And I heard one official say that, you know, somebody asked him, well, do they need to be baptized? You know, if they do come here, do they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus? And he says, no, they're far beyond that. He said they didn't do the original sin program like everybody else did here, and I don't really believe in that. But anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting comeback there.
Yes.
You know, but you know, now we've got Brazil blasting out their files and actually ordering the pilots and everybody else to, you know, come clean with this stuff and go public. You know, China's releasing a lot of their files. Mexico's been releasing their information. The French are releasing. The UK is releasing a lot of their information. And it seems like the United States is the only group that's still continuing with this cover-up, even though Time CNN polls say that over 86% of the people believe UFOs exist and there is a government cover-up. So I would have to say that the cover-up is over, and who do these guys work for?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I wonder what the reason is, and I think it could be they're afraid that if they tell the truth, there's going to be major panic. But I think most of us are beyond that.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's the reason. That's the reason they're giving, but I think it's much deeper than that, because we've been back engineering these ships for quite some time, and basically in almost every war, whoever has the best technology wins the war. And, you know, that's a historical thing. So it's part of, you know, national security. But, you know, what's sad is that these fuel-less energy technologies and anti-gravity and counter-gravity could be used in the mainstream, and we wouldn't be having airline crashes or you know, totally polluting the air and the oceans and the land and everything else we're doing right now. You know, we wouldn't have these big Gulf oil spills if this technology was released.
That's right.
So I think it's more about that, you know. It's and how does the war industry people, you know, say that, yeah, there is stuff flying in our skies and there's nothing we can do about it? You know, we don't have the technology or anything else to deal with this. So you know, basically, it's there's just so many other things involved in it.
Oh yes.
Well, is there anybody else that wants to come on the line, or?
Yes, I think we have. Hold on. Here's a gentleman right here. Hold
well,
on,
thanks, Steve, for sharing your story, and we'll have you back on again real soon.
Sure. Thank you. Okay. Bye bye.
Right. Hello, James.
Yes,
this is Sean.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I am doing absolutely great. How about you?
Oh, doing good. Hey, do you want to talk about some of your experiences here at the ranch?
Yeah, I've had a few. I've only been up here three times, but every single time it's just as amazing as the last. I come up here and it's instantaneously just filled with happiness. I look around and all I see is happy people. I love doing Kunlun up here with everyone, and it's such a great experience. I've had experiences ranging from just feeling filled with energy to even having out-of-body experiences, which are quite phenomenal for me, being like being young. But and then also seeing sightings and been feeling all kinds of different energies out here, and it's really wonderful.
Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you right now?
I am 18.
You're 18. Wow. Your wisdom goes far beyond that. So I never would have thought you're 18. The reason I was asking that is, how do your friends feel about this when you share some of this information with your friends?
Well, some of my friends are pretty with it, so they can relate. Most people that I am friends with have different ways of understanding it, yet what they are understanding is the same thing. And so most of the people who have a feeling for what energy is and what the ETs are and whatnot, they can really smile upon it and they can really, like, take it in. And there are a few people who grow skeptical of it, but after talking, there's almost too much out there to say that it can't be real. Like, I mean, there's too much out there saying that it is real, and no matter which way you look at it, it always proves itself. And it's something that I really enjoy because there's nothing to say to prove it wrong.
Yeah, there's an old saying, truth stands on its own merit, and it doesn't need defending, you know. And I know the more you suppress it, the bigger it gets and the stronger it gets. And, you know, the people that are trying to censor this and suppress it or, you know, disrupt it or whatever are actually enhancing it and bringing more people to the plate, you know, to check it out and see what's going on. So, you know, and basically the bottom line, they only establish their own character and their own intelligence when they do so. So, anyway, I find it very humorous and a minor nuisance when we run into people like that. But, you know, people that do come up here with an open mind and loving heart or pure intent, they do have these incredible experiences. And just as you have had, I know you've had some out-of-body experiences. And you know, you're kind of gifted with the ability to see some things that other people can't because of the visible light spectrum. I know the cameras will pick it up. And the infrared cameras definitely pick up all these things, but those who are gifted or have done their spiritual homework can actually see a lot of these events unfolding where others may not be able to.
Yes. For me, it's not so much see. I do get the gift of being able to see things up in the sky, and I sometimes see the auras and energies that are around us. But most of the time, it's feeling, and it's interesting because a friend of mine, Eddie, we have almost the exact same way of feeling energy. We get the same reactions in the same parts of the body. We get the same emotions that are being portrayed. We get very in sync with each other in how we feel, and it's really intense.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great is when a lot of people don't realize that the highest levels of consciousness and energy come as a feeling. And even the source, whatever you want to call it, God, creator, comes as a feeling. You know, it doesn't have a high voice or a very low voice. It's not male. It's not female. But there's all these other dimensions with beings on them that are speaking to us through the soul, through feelings, and that's how we access all of this incredible wisdom, which is recorded in the soul as feelings from other lives, you know, other off-world experiences, everything. It's all within us, and all we need to do is go within and check it out. You know, like Buddha said, the whole universe is within you, but I say the whole multiverse is within you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
You want to talk about some of the ships that you've seen? I know you've seen some pretty incredible ships fly over and do some strange antics up in the sky.
Yeah, the first time I came up here was quite interesting. A bunch of friends and we were all out in the field, and it was getting pretty early in the morning, and it was very windy that night, and all the clouds in the sky were moving. But then after a while, we became aware of the fact that there were clouds that had not moved the entire night. There was one that was 3 o'clock from where we were, and then there was one that was 6 o'clock from where we were that was almost directly over a tent of another friend who was with our group. And it stayed there, and we were getting all kinds of different energies from it, and we would get profound feelings of just knowledge and just unity and whatnot with each other. And the interesting thing was when I tried taking a picture of it for the first time, the camera wasn't set right, and so it shut off and it got a black picture. The second time I tried taking a picture of it, I took a picture and the shutter clicked like it was supposed to, and it was processing it, and it was still open, and I thought it was going for too long, and so I start moving around the camera, like going, oh, it's going to turn out bad anyway, so I might as well see what moving around the camera will do. But after the photo was done developing, it was only slightly blurred out, and it was almost bright as day in the picture, and there was the cloud. And then the next time I tried taking a picture of it, the camera physically wouldn't take a picture, and my eye vision, my vision just started blurring out. And so I just took it as that was that, and that was the picture that I was meant to get.
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of crazy camera things go on up here. Batteries just drain, and lights, huge lights, you know, go off, and then that you don't see with your eyes, that the camera picks them up, and it blurs the pictures quite often.
Yeah, just yesterday we were walking around, and then we go back, my friend and I go back to the car, and the flashlight was dead, and we opened up a pack of batteries, and one of them worked for a little bit, but then we went through the next two sets, and they were completely drained. And these were brand new batteries, and things up here just get zapped, and it's beyond me. It's quite interesting.
It's hard to keep batteries, even in your car. Mm-hmm. It gets a little crazy. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Do we have anybody else that wants to come on? We've just got about 3 minutes left here.
Yes, we have Scott here.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you, James, and here's Scott.
All right.
Hello, James.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm having a great weekend up here yet again.
Oh, good.
Which is almost impossible not to do. This is my third trip up here since my first trip at the 4th of July weekend, and now it's just all about finding an excuse to come down here and hang out with amazing people and see spectacular events in the sky and feel the wonderful, peaceful energy that just permeates this entire land area.
Yeah, now you've seen quite a few ships since you've been up here, haven't you?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, 3 weeks ago, Sean and I were here for another Kunlun session, and we went out in the field by ourselves. It was on a Friday night about midnight, and we tracked the ship for nearly an hour. It made a great ellipse across the sky. It stopped, and it made a J, but it would always go back to its original point. And we were watching it for a long time, and we could tell that it was spinning because it would flash between red, orange, green, blue, white, all these different colors. And at one point, we just decided to focus on the craft and just send it love and send it peace and say, guys, we're here for this. Talk to us. And just a few seconds after that, I'm standing there beside Sean, and I feel this enormous, what I like to call gorilla hand, on top of my head, and there were fingertips touching my forehead. And I said, dude, there is a hand. And at the same time, we both said, on my head right now. It was like there was this giant, you know, 12-foot-tall being behind us that was just checking us out. And I kept feeling like the hand was moving deeper and deeper into my mind, like we were being scanned. And there were a couple of other events that night where we felt like we were being pulled forward toward the craft. Sean felt that he was being pulled upward, and I felt myself teetering forward a couple of times. We even got a nice power-up out of it. But the very best part was when Sean was asking questions. We were both mentally communicating, you know, toward it. And Sean asks a question that says, you know, if the answer is no, just go left or right for me. And the craft goes left to center and right to center. And just a few seconds later, he asked another question, and it happened again. And that's all the confirmation I would ever need. Not that, you know, the fact that when it would start to move away and we would protest and it would stop or it would slow down, the fact that it was answering our questions by moving left and right and up and down was just phenomenal. And
that's the Japanese. Yeah, the Japanese monk that was here, Khan, he snapped photos of these beings, and they are 12 feet tall, and some of the felines, and they're very big beings, and could have been one of them, actually. You know, they're sixth, fifth dimensional beings, and although we can't see them, we can feel them at times, and they'll come up behind us and they'll give you a hug, or they'll put a hand on your back or your head, and you turn around and there's actually nothing there that you can see with your visible eyes, but they are there.
Absolutely. And after the hand on the head incident, about 5 minutes later, I did feel kind of a large finger on my left shoulder, and it just stayed there for about 5 minutes. And Sean is actually much, much more sensitive than I am. And about that time, he had explained to me that he was sensing a presence of beings kind of around the field in our area, not necessarily in a circle, but certainly close by. And it's just, this is one of the reasons I love coming out here. the Sky Watches, the great energy, and the amazing people. It's almost impossible not to make friends. Just even walking to the bathroom and back, you're going to meet someone with an amazing story.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Hey, I guess we probably have a few more people there that want to talk. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and can't wait to get out there and join you guys.
Absolutely. We'll see you out there in the field, James.
Okay, great. Well, we're out of time, folks, so this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. I'm going to go out into the field and get some more phenomenal footage. And if you want to see this footage, just go to bbs.com, go to the As You Wish site, and check it out. It's all up there. And we have a lot more that are going to be loading up here real soon. So stay tuned and watch the skies. And remember, everything isn't physical in this universe or multiverse in which we live. Have a good evening. Good night.